Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. When it comes to cinema in New Zealand, Ant Timpson is a one-man powerhouse. He's brought us the Incredibly Strange Film Festival, which has now been sort of squashed into the New Zealand International Film Festival. And he's also in recent years brought us the 48-hour Furious Filmmaking Competition, in which people get 48 hours to make a short film. Well, the finals are coming up this week, and we caught up with Ant Timpson.
So, Ant, 48 hours down to the wire again for another year?
I know. Here's some love for the sponsor, the V 48 Hours. It's the sixth year, bigger than ever, 600 teams this year. So we went up by 100, which I thought it might have plateaued after talking to you last year. I thought, you know, I didn't think there was much left in the country of people coming out with a crew in the weekend. But obviously, yeah, there's a lot of influx of young teams this year, noticeably a lot of teen teams coming through, which was really exciting.
So are they coming out of schools?
Coming out of schools. A lot of schools sort of approached us this time and said, you know, we've got quite a few teams that we want to put together. We'll put a teacher on each team just to sort of act as the guardian. For legal reasons, we need to have that covered. But yeah, I was really surprised. Like, it used to be a bit of a struggle, I must admit, to get through a lot of the young films. I mean, I kind of embraced the crazy enthusiasm of it because it reminded me of, you know, my early stuff. But they were, you know, when you watch 100 of them, they get a kind of a struggle. But this year, they're really a lot more accomplished, and they're, you know, a lot of the teams made the finals. And showed that, you know, those old pros something that...
fascinating because yeah. There's a lot of professionals do it every year now.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, that's still there. I mean, I think it's a good, I don't want to get sort of like, what's that guy, some new age business philosophy where they, you know, get a team together and go out and workshop it. But that seems to happen. It's like people who do a lot of corporate stuff each year, this is a good excuse to get out and get re-energized about filmmaking and just have a lot of fun because they get sort of bogged down with, you know, just working for some sort of, corporate identity, just pumping out these commercials and things. So you can see that in the teen films. They don't have any burnout or bitterness whatsoever, and they're just approaching everything kind of fresh. And I guess you get to see the new ideas coming through at that stage, whereas a lot of the more polished teams are really just honing the skills and delivering, you know, really solid films, but maybe not breaking down any sort of new terrain.
Right. And on the other hand, of course, you've got Team Lens Flare. Last year's winners are back by the grace of Peter Jackson.
I know. Isn't that weird? I mean, it's, you know, you couldn't have scripted a better sort of ending. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. Obviously, it's the weird thing about them, the guys are so likable that there's no sort of backlash. I would have thought, like, people thinking, oh, you know, obviously Peter Jackson's favourites, you know, he's going to pick them again. But he doesn't actually even know the teams involved. He just watches the shorts. So unless he's got a fixation with Johnny Barker that we don't know about, it's really encouraging for that young team to, you know, to suddenly get rewarded and come in from the outside, but both times, not winning the Auckland one, but coming in as a wild card. So it's going to be this year, it's anyone's game for the final. I mean, previous years I've sort of been able to pick who I think is possibly going to take it out, or between one or two teams, but this year it's really open, and because it's an international judging panel, it's really it's thrown it wide.
Ah, right, international judging panel.
Yeah,
ah.
So I've got I just went basically trawled through all my old contacts and the people I sort of deal with through the film festival days, and in the end I was going to try and get a little mini celebrity panel of people, and go after a couple of actors, and I was trying to, you know, pull Michael Cera from the Superbad movies to, you know, people like that. But then I thought, well, you know, at the end of the day, these are the filmmakers. Let's try and get people who watch a lot of films all the time. Instead of going down just, you know, a celebrity who might have shit taste, let's be frank.
Yeah.
Let's go for people who really, you know, this is what they do. They program movies. They look for new filmmakers. This might lead on to something if they really like a film.
Well, last year it led on to something for Johnny Barker. He became a serial killer.
Exactly. Well, and he's documented that as well. And so the international panel is made up of people from, you know, the New York Museum of Moving Image and, you know, Cinematheques from San Francisco to LA, the LA Film Festival, UCLA. So, like, you know, these are pretty big wigs in the film department.
Does that mean that the involvement of those people mean there's more potential for people who do well in this competition stepping up to the next level?
I don't know. I mean, it's all about making contacts. I know that from past history, when I go to these film festivals and markets, filmmakers that get a short into a festival, you know, that festival will keep an eye on that filmmaker, and then they'll expect to see a feature from them down the line, and they'll hopefully, if they're short premiered at their festival, they will give a space for that feature film. And that's happened to Greg or Nicholas, right through to, you know, to all of our you know, contemporary directors, through Toronto mainly. You know, you got your Scott Reynolds' short played there, then his feature film premiered there, and that seems to happen. They keep an eye on, and same with Taika Waititi at Sundance. You know, they workshopped him, and then they wanted Eagle versus Shark when it came out. So it is a way, it's all about getting to know people, getting people to see your work at that level. And it's pretty cool that the 48 has now sort of grown outside of New Zealand. I don't think we want to be a part of a international competition per se, but I like the idea of the work being judged out of context from New Zealand, and as the films to be standalone vehicles and not necessarily watched within the context of the 48 hours, because you can show someone some of the shorts from 48 outside of the competition and they'll go, okay, it's, you know, it's an okay short. But the ones that really rise and you know, work as great shorts are the ones that can exist outside of the event.
Right, now speaking of festivals, you're bringing back the brand. The Incredibly Strange Film Festival,
I know,
is back.
Yeah.
What's the story?
Flogging a dead horse. Well, aww. Because I always, you know, I don't know why. I think I changed the name originally really just to, because I was kind of getting pissed off the whole Z grade aspect of the commentary from, you know, outside of the festivals. And when people looking in on it, it was just, oh, it's all those, you know, that hunk of B grade crap, which was just so untrue after a while. It might have been the crazy cult movies and B-grade, Z-grade sort of titles in the early days, but then it sort of definitely progressed and grew and became more, had more contemporary titles in there, more sort of genre fare from around the world that was sort of breaking ground at the time, Korea and Japan and Spain and so forth. So I just thought it needed to reflect that, and maybe let's change the name. But at the end of the day, you know, it was crazy because we built up this brand for so long. We all loved, you know, Incredibly Just Strange just means, you know, primarily what me and a few friends really like. And I just think in some ways there's no point trying to change that or dress it up or anything. It's like classic Coke. You know? You know, it's just like stick with what you know and with what you had originally, and it worked really well. And so we've gone back to that. I think there's a harder edge this year, definitely. We're calling it the rebirth of Cruel. You know, the titles are very manipulative in a lot of ways, but also quite confronting and shocking. And so that sort of harks back to the old days. I don't know if the
Are you expecting to get some problems? Expecting some problems? Do you think anyone's going to try and get any of this banned? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying, you know, but I don't think they, that whole red flag thing doesn't seem to work anymore. They're much too smart for that. And, you know, there's prostitutes out there working legally, so they've got other things to worry about these days than a couple of silly old films. And they know that they drive a huge market towards the films initially. I think in the end of the day, they're more concerned with, you know, the wider aspects of getting it on TV. And video games, obviously, is a huge thing for them these days. I think that's probably taking all their energy away.
Now, we should talk about where people can see all this. 48 Hours is the finals next week.
Yeah, the grand final. If you're in Auckland, come along to the Belgian Beer Cafe. We're going to have a few brewskis. The final's made by this great production company. We've got NZ On Air financing for the first time in
Woo-hoo!
6 years. Woo! So it's actually a really slick show. It's not like a $4 show this year. It's actually got some money behind it. And we've the guys who made it, Nick and James, basically had 20 crews around the country capturing the whole flavor of the scope. And
oh, that's Nick Dwyer.
Yeah, no, not that Nick. Okay. Another Nick Ward, and not the Nick Ward, another right. Nick Ward. But so yeah, they've done this amazing show. It's really well put together. Basically, it shows a lot of the personalities shining through. They interviewed all the teams, and they did these great little profiles. And it's sort of like it's a much more I don't know. It just shows how large the actual event is, whereas previously it was just us in a little studio showing a couple of shorts, and it didn't really sell how great the event was, I think. So this year is the first time that I'm really, really happy at how it's going to go down. So that's, yeah, next Thursday, July 3rd, 8:30 p.m. on C4, and you can see who's finally going to be the Grand National Champ of 2008. I don't even know yet. It hasn't even come through yet.
Right, and the Incredibly Strange Film Festival.
Incredibly Strange Film Festival
is
starts the same time as the the International Film Festival, which I think
is the Grown Up Film Festival.
The Grown Up Film Festival. We're the bastard child of that, and that's July 9th. I'm pretty sure that it all starts, and highlights this year definitely the Spanish horror film Wreck, which is going to knock people out on the Civic screen and the Embassy screen. And also The King of Kong, if you haven't seen that documentary, it's truly one of the best crowd-pleasing docs I've seen for many, many years.
Do you think you'll ever work it out so that you're not doing two things at once, Ant?
Yeah, I just suddenly realised that this year that if I actually space things out a little, I won't have a coronary around this time each year. So I'm thinking maybe to moving the 48 hours a little bit warmer. But we haven't had rain for 6 years, and I just know.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, did it rain anywhere?
It didn't rain. It was very foggy, and there was a lot of great horror movies that utilised the fog at 6 a.m. on that Sunday morning. But on the Saturday morning, sorry, but there's never been a rainy weekend, which is truly surprising over 6 years. We should be selling that data, I guess, to someone. But I'm a bit scared if we move it, it's all going to go belly up, and everyone's going to be shooting these weird intimate dramas in bedrooms around the country. So, yeah, fingers crossed, but we'll see how it goes.
So what are you going to do with the rest of your year once you've got these two things out of the way?
We've got Incredibly Strange TV, which is a brand new thing, which is coming out on MGM Channel on Sky, and a great friend out there, Charlotte, and I have been wanting to do something for a long, long time. And so it was part of the actual rebranding of Incredibly Strange. It was like, well, let's, you know, we've got a big block on Saturday night, 4 hours. Let's do let's put together a crazy TV show that reflects the Incredibly Strange ethos. And so we're taking over the channel, and do not adjust your set. You're going to be fried on Saturday nights. Come home after the pub and get ready to be have your brain melted in all different ways.
I think that I love the idea of that, because there's going to be some Sky subscribers sitting down expecting to see some classic fare on MGM, and they're going to get your channel.
Exactly. Yeah, so we are literally taking it over, and we're going to try and get a lot of local content in there as well. We're thinking maybe doing a competition for getting some truly incredibly strange footage on there from the general mass public, and make it more of a user-friendly, interactive sort of experience, and basically set it around a double feature each weekend.
And that was Ant Timpson talking to Russell Brown. Coming up, Ryan Hutching looks at the TV show Beyond 2000 and finds out that the future isn't what it used to be.